All right, thank you all very much. And I was joking, you know, now that I'm the last person, I don't actually have to present because everybody else has covered pretty much all of my topics. We got IRS, I have some information on vectors, and the data that is collected at health facilities. So it's a nice end to the malaria session. I have nothing to disclose. So to give just a quick, you know, background of what I'll be discussing today, background to the PMI AIRS project, the objective of the study, the methods that we used, looking at the analysis, the limitations of this research, and the conclusion. And just, it's a long title, but the main part of this research is looking at what's happening in health facilities in Zimbabwe when we change insecticide. So the PMI, Africa Indoor Residual Spray Project, this is funded by PMI, the Presidential Malaria Initiative. I work at Apt Associates, and so we implement the AIRS project. The AIRS project is a large malaria prevention project. We work in 17 countries throughout Africa. So we work actually in most of the countries that we discussed today. We work in Ghana, we work in Madagascar, in Liberia, Ethiopia. So we really cover a lot of sub-Saharan Africa. This project that APT is implementing as the PMI AIRS project, the contract is for August 2014 through 2017. This is the follow-on project, so we've actually been implementing this project since 2011. As I was saying, what a large project it is, we protect over 10 million people per year, we spray 3 million houses, and we employ 10,000 people. So, you know, this is bringing in what we were talking about, how everybody likes malaria prevention because it gives jobs to people. We're given lots of jobs. And along with that, we, in this project, what IRS does, we've already had a description of IRS, but so what this project does is we spray houses, the inside walls of houses, with insecticide. So for the last for generations upon generations, we've been using pyrethroids and carbamates, and some countries use DDT. But as my previous presenter had talked about, is that we're getting vector resistance, that mosquitoes, they're not dying, you know, that it lasts, the mosquitoes don't die, the insecticide doesn't last as long on the walls. And how IRS works is we spray right before the rainy season starts, and then the rainy season comes, you get the larvae, you get your mosquitoes, and then that the insecticide should last through the peak malaria season. And with this changing vector susceptibility, we've had to change from using pyrethroids to a new class of insecticides called organophosphates. And organophosphates are 10 times the cost. So this is really putting a strain on the project because, you know, our budgets are staying the same, but we have to use insecticide that's 10 times as expensive. So we do regular and very rigorous entomological data collection on the project, but we wanted to, with this study, to see if the epidemiological data as being recorded at health facilities is following the entomological data. We see when we do the entomological research with organophosphates that they're much more effective than pyrethroids in these areas where there is no longer, or where there is pyrethroid resistance. So we want to see if the epidemiological data is following the same trends as the entomological data. And I also think another really good way to think about it is also, you know, what are the human effects? You know, it's a lot easier to do work with the mosquitoes. From our perspective, it's a lot easier to get that data, but really we want to see what's happening at the health facilities as well. So this study took place in Zimbabwe. I shouldn't actually say a study, it was data collection. Took place in Zimbabwe, in Maninkaland. So we have three sort of groups for analysis. So the PMI AIRS project sprays four districts in Maninkaland. And in those spray districts, we are also doing mosquito resistance testing. But the government of Zimbabwe sprays a mixture of pyrethroids and DDT throughout the country. So they're spraying three other districts in Manicaland, and then they're spraying what we throughout the country. But we looked at the Mashonaland because that would be a good comparison. So we don't have the mosquito resistance data for these countries or for these districts, but we do know that they have continued to use pyrethroids and DDT. So, and just you know, being a U.S. government-funded project, we don't use DDT at all. But we, if a government wants to spray DDT with their own funds, that is their choice. So the project took data from the health facilities in the four PMI-supported districts and then compared it with the government spray data from the pyrethroid and DDT districts. And so this graph that we're looking at is actually the proportion of districts that where there are health facilities with missing data. So as you can see that we have almost 100% non-responsive till November 2012 or so. But because we have such limited data up until around July 2013, the project could only do analysis from July 2013 until the present. So we only have 2 years of spray data, although the government and the project has been spraying for many more years in Zimbabwe. And I think this is a nice time to speak about the questions about the quality of data. We know that there's questions about are people recording things as being tested positive for malaria when they're not, what the data that's coming in. Because we are using the publicly available HMIS data, we do have limits on the quality. In Zimbabwe, they started to use a new system that has built in more data quality audits, so we assume that the HMIS data in Zimbabwe is better, but we are not using blood parasitemia study. So, the results. This first graph is looking at just in the districts where the PMI AIRS project sprayed. So I'm going to just start calling that the treatment district or the treatment areas. And so, from looking at this graph, if you look onto the y-axis, we have the rate per 1,000 people that have been diagnosed with malaria at a health facility. Then on the x-axis is our timeline, and those gray bars shows when we actually spray. So you can see here in about March, April, May 2014, and then also again the next year, that's the peak malaria season. So we can see just looking at this graph that there was a huge spike in 2014, and then we see a much smaller recorded rate of malaria in 2015. So then when we actually look at the data itself, and we start looking at the IRR, the incidence rate ratio, we can see that there is a large statistically significant drop in the number of cases, both in children under 5 and in all ages. So we can see that the rate dropped by 39% from 2000 to 2015 in the children under 5, and then it dropped by 38%. So we're seeing a very large drop here. And then when we wanted to look at our spray or treatment area versus the comparison, the government run districts, we have a graph here of laid out of the same rate, the malaria rate in the bottom two, you can't really see it, but the really big spike is where we spray, that same area in Maninkaland. So not only was that a big increase when we looked just at Maninkaland itself, but as compared to the other districts, it's a disproportionately large increase. you know, and I've been speaking with my team about, you know, why perhaps it was so large there. We do know that Manicaland has one of the highest malaria, or so the malaria transmission in Manicaland is one of the high, or is the highest in Zimbabwe, which is explains part of that really big spike. But you know, we can also assume that we had started to see that there was pyrethroid is resistant, and so the pyrethroids were just not as effective. So then when we look at the actual IRR, we can see that the unadjusted IRR is the smallest in our treatment areas in the PMI sprayed, which means that we had the largest decrease in the number of in the malaria ratio. So looking at that first line here, you know, in 2013-2014 the rate was 30.6 cases per 1,000 person. In 2014-2015 it went down to 11.5. So we're seeing a really big drop. And when you looked at that graph, you could see that, and the data shows this as well, that the rate of malaria in Manicaland was the highest in 2013-2015, and then it came down the most, but it, you know, is an average with the rest of the districts in Zimbabwe. Some limitations to this study. I mean, this, for us, it looks... affirms the entomological data showing that, you know, you have vector resistance in 2013-2014 with pyrethroids. You switch to OPs. We see that entomologically that this is much more efficient. And then we see that same change in the epidemiological data. But there are some limitations to this study. First, that these are unadjusted results. As we had discussed, things like rain and altitude really change the malaria transmission. So we in this model didn't take into account, we have no weather data, we have nothing about altitude. So we're not controlling for that in any way. Also, we're not controlling for other factors such as what are the other malaria interventions. You know, what is the bed net distribution in our treatment versus our control. And then also, this really goes back to what we were talking about, is the questionable data quality and the limited time frame for analysis. That we saw that we couldn't use the data starting from 2011 when the ARES project started because nobody reported in. So we have a very limited scope. But also the data quality, that there are data quality assurance protocols built into the HMIS system, but we didn't check them. And also, you know, who knows what they're actually recording. A lot of times you see people record cases as being confirmed malaria when they're not, and that's, you know, and that's the data that we're taking. But the conclusion, the bottom line here is that we did see the decline in the burden, malaria burden reported in our health facilities in the four intervention districts, in all districts, and we saw the greatest drop in the districts that made the switch from pyrethroids to organophosphates. So this is very encouraging as we continue to have to make these difficult choices of what to spray with and how much to spray. And so questions, and our website is AfricaAIR, or I guess it's AfricaAIRS.net if you want to learn more about the PMI AIRS project. Thank you.